Welcome back to the Heartland Pod. My name is Adam Summer. I am your host. This is a Tuesday edition of the Heartland Pod. It's a Let's Have a Chat edition. Tuesday, July 26th. And I have a little bit different from what we've had lately. We've had a ton of folks from Missouri. We're stepping out of the state. And in fact, we're going to Kentucky. I've got a fellow, Connor Halblib, who is Halblib. I say it every different way. We talk about how to say it in the actual show. It's spelled H-A-L-B-L-E-I-B. So you decide for yourself which one you prefer and go with that. I'm fine with that. And unless you're voting in Kentucky, my bet is Connor's fine with that too. Anyway, he is running for Congress in Kentucky. He's running in a very rural district, and great to talk to him and just, you know, take a look at something that there's a ton of similarities with what's going on in Missouri and Kentucky, but certainly there's differences, and it's great to get to dive into that stuff with Connor. Small announcement. Maybe it's a big announcement. I don't know. We have a TikTok now. So if you're a TikToker, at Heartland Pod on TikTok, you can find us over there and hook up with us over there. If you're a first-timer, if you're new to the Heartland Pod, thanks for stopping by and joining us. You can find all of our information at heartlandpod.com. Find us on Twitter with at the Heartland Pod. Like I said, on TikTok with at Heartland Pod. We're on Facebook and Instagram with the Heartland Pod. And you can sign up for our Patreon to support what we do. This is a side hustle, so to speak. We have several folks who work on these shows who make all of this possible. There's five of us that do all this together. And all of us are grateful to get to do it. And we've had so many folks start listening, and our numbers have been so huge, and it's just energized us so much. But this is not a job for us. This is not what we do for a living. We don't make money making a podcast. So if you can sign up on our Patreon, go to heartlandpod.com, click the Patreon subscription. $2 a month, $24 a year, you can help us out. At $5 a month, you can help us out. Plus, you get access to extra shows and all kinds of extra stuff. You can see the different things you get access to by signing up at the different levels over there on Patreon. And it means a lot to us to have that support. And basically, it just makes it possible for us to do as many shows as we're doing and give you the quality that we're trying to bring. So we're trying to change the conversation, and you can help us do that by going to heartlandpod.com, clicking on the Patreon link, and signing up. All right, well, let's get to my chat with Connor Halblib, and I hope you enjoy it. I think you will, and we'll see you on the other side.
Let's have a chat.
All right, we're here for a chat, and I have got Connor Halblib, who is a progressive Democrat running in the Kentucky 5th District, the congressional district. Welcome, Connor. Thanks for joining me on the Heartland Pod. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me, Adam.
So thank you for, before we rock and rolled here, making sure I understood the name. You folks can see it on your phones, your computers, where you're looking. One thing you learn talking to a ton of people is just stop guessing. but it's the kind of name that I think once folks learn it, I'm sure they remember it.
Absolutely. It's Halblib. And most people say Halblib at first. And if someone ever got my name correctly on the first time, that's suspicious. So it's it means half body in German.
There you go. Yeah, that second consonant or that second vowel thing.
That's what gets people.
Yeah. So you are based out of southeastern Kentucky. You come from, a true Appalachian background. Can you help us understand? Because, I think folks certainly around the Midwest go from time to time to Kentucky, maybe to Lexington, certainly Louisville. You've got the Bourbon Trail. Folks kind of know that area. Maybe they've been to Cincinnati and crossed the river or something like that. I happen to have family over in Owensboro, so I know that it's pronounced Louisville, that kind of stuff. But you're in a totally different part of Kentucky. Can you help us understand what it's like what that area is really like?
Right. Well, I actually was raised actually in Louisville, and I went to school in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
But my family and, a lot of my relatives and everything, they come from Owsley County. So right in the middle of that Eastern Kentucky, Appalachia 5th District. And it's not the caricature that you see on TV, mm-hmm. The the mountain hillbilly or anything like that. I mean, that does happen, but it's much more of a beautiful, it's a vibrant place. There's a lot of really good people, and you go on some of these ridges and you just look out and it's just unbelievable vista. Sure. So it's got a lot of diversity to it. And probably if you're looking at it from a geographic standpoint, just, it's a green place, you know, especially in the summertime. It's just, it's a wonderful area, but it's got its problems, and it seems lost in a way.
I'm looking at it just from a, you know, from a map, it doesn't appear that there's any, you know, real major towns, national highways. You got to drive a little bit to really get to much,
right.
Even major railroad connections. You know, there it's really sort of, it's almost a like triangled off in a
Absolutely.
Way. Like you've got the plateau and then the Cumberland Mountains down at the bottom. So it seems like it's sort of just, I imagine that it has moved a little different than kind of the other portion of the state.
Well, and I'm glad you pointed that out about how it looks cornered off. And, you know, that is absolutely true. I mean, the only real infrastructure that was invested in there were just mining routes to get trucks in and out of mining towns to the major highways, and then, you know, up and down the river and mm-hmm. the Ohio and things like that. But other than that, they really missed out on a lot of the infrastructure that a lot of other places got, because, again, it was all focused on just getting the mining trucks to the town and then out to the, you know, out to the major intersections or out to the major highways. So you're absolutely right. And you're not just seeing it. It's true. It's hard to get to some places.
So what's the background for you? You know, why are you qualified to be a member of the United States Congress representing the 5th District in Kentucky?
Right. That's an excellent question. So I think, first of all, you know, people want to know if you know what you're doing, or if you're capable of doing the job. I've got my bachelor's degree in English, a master's degree in business administration with a focus in data analytics, and then I just finished my law degree at the University of Louisville. So as far as educational background, I've got a wide swath of talents, interests, skills. So that's covered. That part is not a problem. I can understand policies. And I think that's only one little part of the answer. The real answer is I'm someone who actually cares for people that don't look like me, or people who didn't grow up in the situation I grew up in. You know, I don't look to patronize people, and I actually look to listen. I actually try to listen to, you know, what people have to say. You know, I take risks, but I also, you know, I look at the situations at hand. So I saw that there was an opportunity that presented itself, and instead of, you know, going back and saying this is too much, I said, you know what, I'm going to take this opportunity, and decided to run.
It sounds like you and I have fairly similar backgrounds in that way. I think I've got a few years on you, but you know, I'm a old Missouri kid and grew up in, you know, on a horse farm on a lot of weekends, and wound up going to Mizzou for law school and, you know, practice law in a more rural part of the state, and just kind of give a shit about my state, you know?
Right. Exactly. I think there's a lot more people who, you know, there's a lot of people who are like that, but like you said, I think you're probably, like you said, the same way I was, not just intellectually curious, but curious about, you know, how do other people live? This world is bigger than just you and me.
Right.
You know, having the experience like you did, you know, like you said, growing up on a lot of horse farms on the weekends, but then you also see the kind of the denser parts, you know, going to law school, you introduced to different people. Yeah. And as long as you can recognize that the world is bigger than yourself, but it also places like your backyard might need help that get overlooked. I think that those kind of people I want to see in office.
So what is it that makes you sign up to run and subject yourself to the time, the expense, the scrutiny of a campaign in a district that, I mean, I've looked it up, man, you know, in 2020, this guy's been in office longer than I've been alive.
Right.
I'm looking 40 in the face. I do these interviews and I can see the gray in my beard as I do them.
The webcams are getting too good. You're starting right. to see yourself more.
Yeah, that's why I've got the hat. But you know, this guy's won with like 84% in 2020. So, I mean, are you, you know, I've asked this question before to folks, but like, is there, does nobody love you? You don't have any friends. Nobody like could talk you out of this. Like,
well, I hope some people love me.
Yeah. Obviously, it's, you know, a little tongue in cheek, but it's, I mean, it's a big, it's a really big commitment. And so like, it's got to be more than just because, like, I love my state and I love, you know, I want to help in my backyard too. But like, I ain't running for Congress. Like, why are you, you know, what's the real drive there?
What? Yeah, I think that's a great, great question. I think it's a couple things. First, I think it's my interests. I think politics is always an area that I've naturally been interested in. So this isn't a, you know, completely foreign field for someone like me, you know. So I think that's one thing. I think you do actually need a lot of support from a lot of people who really do love and trust you. You know, I wouldn't do this if I was by myself. I've got a loving family. I've got a wonderful girlfriend. I've got great friends who, you know, have helped support my endeavors in the past and everything like that. So I think that's another thing. It would be impossible to do this on my own. But really, again, like I said, I saw that there was an opportunity here where a person like this who has been in office for 40 years, and that's true, and he's gotten a lot of, he hasn't really had a lot of competition, but that's the other thing I saw is I saw he wasn't going up against people who really took it seriously and who really tried. So, you know, those numbers didn't really reflect the full story.
You know, there are a lot of 84%.
It's a soft 84%. It's, you know, he obviously gets a lot of support, but sure. I think most people write off a place like Eastern Kentucky so quickly that no one actually takes the time to get to know the constituents and also just to take a risk. And I'm young. I will be turning 30 before the election. And like I said, I just finished law school, and I said this is an opportunity in my life at this moment where I can afford to take a risk. And go big and seize this opportunity. And, you know, like I said, I saw that he hasn't really had a lot of big competition. And I said, how come it can't be me? You know, there are a lot of people who don't like what he's doing. There's a lot of good potential, and there's a lot of just talented and skilled people in the area. And since I had the availability, I had the talent. And the big thing is my ideas and my platform, I stand behind them. Mm-hmm. If you don't think that your platform is good enough, you'll only run in races that you have a 95% chance of winning.
Right.
But if you can stand behind your platform, even during the hardest odds against you, it can be done. It's not impossible.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it also, you know, something that we talk about when we do our analysis show, just having somebody like you who's, you're not just a warm body. I mean, I've looked at your stuff and you're clearly putting the work in. You're on the road. You're meeting with folks, like you're taking it seriously, and that makes them have to take it seriously. It makes the Republicans have to take it seriously. And that means they have to spend money, and that means they might have to think about resources there instead of somewhere. I mean, it changes the game for the whole board.
It absolutely does. It's, you know, if Eastern Kentucky isn't 100% lock for the Republicans, then no place in the country is 100% lock. If you have to make, you know, I'm here to win this race, but I understand the odds, but I'm here to win. But if I can make the Republican Party have to sweat in a place like Eastern Kentucky, that does not bode well for them across the country.
Mm-hmm. So how are you working to give folks a progressive message in an area that does have a heavy partisan tilt?
Well, it's difficult, but it there's a couple ways you can do it. And I think the biggest thing is you have to connect people with not just that the Republicans are bad or that centrism is bad, but what can progressivism bring to them on a concrete level. So when I talk about Medicare for all and I talk about healthcare, I make it very clear, listen, you know, you may have your gripes with the government, you know, whatever that means, but wouldn't you love to wake up every day knowing you and your family are always covered? You'll never have to worry about that. You'll never have to talk to another insurance company. And no matter if you lose your job, if you move, this or that, you will always have healthcare. You know, when I talk about the environment, I bring it back down to, you know, I'm not here to take away your coal job. I'm here to make sure that your water is clean. In a place like Martin County, which has had a Flint, Michigan level crisis for 20 years, you know, I say that's unacceptable. And you know, I want you to turn on your tap water and not feel like it's going to poison you.
Yeah.
So I think the best ways to do it is you take the issues that you feel strongly for and you just put it into concrete grounds. You say, this is how it's going to benefit your life and the life of your family, like immediately, day by day.
How is healthcare access in that part of Kentucky? Because I know we've had problems here in Missouri with hospitals closing, rural hospitals. We just had another one in the last few months that closed down. And there's places in southeast Missouri, which is kind of similar to southeast Kentucky, mm-hmm. a little different from a landscape standpoint. It's more Delta farmland than coal country. But the same idea of you've got very little, there's not a lot of big cities. There's roads and stuff, but, the main thoroughfares are north of all of that. And it sort of is this little triangle to itself in its own little world. And it's, it's had declining wages, declining health, everything under the sun, opioid epidemic. And it's had, Republican representation for a really long time. Mm-hmm. How is the healthcare access in your neck of the woods?
Not good. In one word, bad, and two words, not good. Yeah. Kind of like you said, the rural hospitals can only really survive if the federal government or a big entity can just take them on because they don't make money. Doctors don't want to work in places that they can't, make a decent living on. So unless we go big, it's a disaster. And like you said, the opioid crisis has exacerbated, just the day-to-day health concerns of a community. Now you've got all of a sudden this whole other entity that's coming by and just multiplying the negative effects of it. And if you don't have, everything from a trauma center to, specialists to just everyday general hospitals and general healthcare, it's, you can never, your community is done for. So in order for us to do that, we have to kind of accept that a place like a rural hospital isn't going to make money, but that's why a big entity like the federal government can take on that responsibility.
Yeah. What do you think is the issue? Like, if you have to boil it down to one thing that your district needs changed the most after 40 plus years without change, what is it?
I think that, I hate to just kind of be cliche, but it's healthcare. But it's healthcare through the opioid crisis, through the diseases that coal has brought, through black lung. I was talking to a gentleman the other day who was an older gentleman in Breathitt County, and he was talking about how he has black lung and has had difficulties getting his money and his healthcare to take care of this disease. So I think, there's so many things that need work on, but if a community is able to be healthy, especially a community like Eastern Kentucky, it just opens up the door to everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. And I do think that after so much time, folks have got to be starting to feel that and understand that message a little bit. Does that resonate?
It absolutely does. When you talk about, especially when you talk about people's children and that they will always have healthcare, I think that's the part that resonates the most with people, because everyone understands that, there's a lot of families and a lot of good families down there, but they don't just struggle financially. They struggle because there's so much instability. Mm-hmm. Are they going to lose their job next week, or is it always going to be there? I mean, that's why I think healthcare really does resonate with the folks down there and the folks in the community, because they understand how much pressure they would be alleviated from.
Yeah.
How much weight would be taken off their shoulders if that part of their lives was covered.
Yeah, I imagine that's something that you're, between business school and law school, you learn the verbiage, about risk averse, and certainly that's the kind of thing where certainty is so incredibly valuable. And folks are, day to day, folks are risk averse. People don't want to take massive swings. They want to know that they wake up and the lights turn on and the water runs and the water's hot and the heat works and the air conditioning works if they have it and the car is going to start and all of that stuff. And when that starts to crumble around them, when that certainty starts to go, folks have got to start looking up and noticing you know, hey, we've been electing these same people. Our thing, you know, maybe gas is more expensive today, but in the long run, have we been making a good choice here?
Right. And I think the risk averse, I think you're exactly right on that. And I think that mentality or that idea also helps explain why someone would vote for my opponent for 40 years, even though he hasn't, you know, in my opinion, has not been doing a very good job. You know, even just taking the risk of voting for someone else, it's like you'd rather stick with the enemy that you know rather than right. the one you don't know.
Right.
So when people say, why don't they, you know, they should, why do they keep voting for this guy? They should just vote him out. It's like, that's easier said than done. I mean, they don't know if the Democrats come in there and try to come up with some weird, convoluted, you know, tax-free opportunity zone, yada, yada, yada. I mean, that could devastate people, you know, just the same. So right. I think that's one reason they stick with someone for so long.
Right. Meanwhile, they're going to send mailers out with your face and Nancy Pelosi's face to a bunch of folks in southeastern Kentucky who definitely don't want Nancy Pelosi to come to their house.
Right. Right. So,
yeah, that's tricky. Let's jump over to the favorite things here.
Okay.
All right. Favorite thing number one is your favorite thing about campaigning.
My favorite thing about campaigning is just talking to people. I've talked to so many more people the past couple of months than I ever have, you know, past 3 years of law school.
Yeah, that's the answer I get all the time. And I still ask the question, even though I know that's pretty much going to be the answer, because I'm curious for the first time that somebody doesn't say that. Like, I feel like it's going to
it seems cliche, but it's such a difference. You're automatically, you know, you're in a position to imagine if people like had to listen to your thoughts right. and ideas constantly.
Well, it's so right. If you just like walked up to people's doors and knocked on the door and you weren't running for office and they're like, what are you here for? And you're just like, I just wanted to talk to you.
Let's just chat about the issue. All right,
well, that's cool. Honey, call the police, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I'll tell you what, can I tell you what a least favorite part is?
Yeah, sure. That's
money, raising money. That's sure. absolutely the worst part about all this stuff.
Yeah. That's usually the answer for that too. All right, number two, your favorite thing about your district, favorite thing about the fifth, and it could be anything, food, a spot, you know, a view, a person, anything under the sun.
A favorite thing about the district, it's probably the music. You know, you've got some of the most beautiful, just history of songs, of bluegrass, of folk music, Tyler Childers. It's just amazing. And I think it's probably the easiest way to express to someone the talent of an area and the richness of it. So the music is just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, this kind of ties into that. You may have already answered it, but let's find out. Your favorite famous Kentuckian.
Favorite famous Kentuckian.
And sneaky dense state. I don't think people realize how many like really famous people come from Kentucky.
You know what? I'm going to kind of go with a little bit of a curveball here. I'm going to go with Johnny Depp. It's probably my favorite famous Kentuckian. He's probably one of the more interesting, whether he's good or bad, just one of the more interesting people to come out of Kentucky.
Mine is Hunter S. Thompson.
Weirdo. Just a strange person, but so much personality there.
Other fine answers, of course, Jim Varney and Dwight Yoakam.
Jim Varney. You know,
again, Ernest P. Worrell himself.
Again, you just mentioned those are three people you've mentioned who are just on the strange side of the spectrum.
Yeah, they're definitely doing
cool.
their own thing.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, Connor, man, thanks a lot for your time. Tell folks how they can find you if they're, you know, we encourage folks, hey, if you're in an area where you don't need to do work necessarily to help somebody get elected, you know, but you can do something and you can, whether it's sending money or postcards or maybe you want to take a trip down to, you know, Kentucky and knock some doors, how can folks get a hold of you? How can they find you?
Absolutely. We would love any of that. It's all welcome. And, you know, we welcome everybody, no matter what you can do. The best ways are my website, which is my name, ConnorHallBleib.com, ConnorHallBleib. I'm very active on Twitter, Connor_HallBleib. And then we have a Facebook page, Connor Hoblide for Kentucky 5th District. The website and Twitter are probably the best ways to get a hold of me. And through that, you can find my Act Blue and everything else. But we would love people to stop by and chat with us.
Excellent. We will link to the website in the show notes, so folks, you can scroll down and tap that right on your phone or computer if you're listening there, and go check out Connor's website. Hey, thanks for your time, man, and good luck out there. And you know, maybe we'll be talking to Congressman Hoblide next year.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam. I really appreciate being on the show.
The Heartland Pod is a production of Midmap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com, online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.